This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Creedence Clearwater. We got to get energized here this morning. Boy, there is so much going on, is there not? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed Paul Molloy, along with my buddy, who has now become, I guess, a television personality. I'm looking there in the engineering room where Big Ed is, and they got a camera on him. I guess they'll be hauling him away for some crime here.
I was going to say, they're with live PD. It's okay.
Wow. We're going to talk about that. Later. Oh, my. Anyway, he's Big Ed. He's my buddy. I love him. We thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, June the 2nd. We are going to be talking in a couple of minutes with Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about California's attempt to charge businesses that have over 500 people with a $275 per employee jobs tax. No, that's going to go over real well in a state that wants to keep business. We'll talk about that. And what is the civil unrest in the U.S. right now doing to our economy? We're going to talk about that, among other political topics, and we got a lot of them, with our barber pole proprietor, Andrew Cerasi. I can tell you he will have some thoughts about all of that. And while everybody is talking about the George Floyd killing and the white-on-black violence that has led to this civil unrest, what about black-on-white crimes? Dare we talk about black-on-white crimes? Does it go both ways? Does that count for anything? We're going to talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 most exciting cities in America, and Ed's been to every one of them. Maybe. So we'll stay tuned for that as well. So much going on right now. The sad story about the riots in every major city and many mid-American cities as well. Now, an old fogey like me remembers 1968, which was a terrible year in terms of violence. We had the civil unrest. We had the death of two important men, Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy. And we had the Democratic Convention in my city, Chicago. And the violence that occurred there, and they had the, they called them yippies. Mm. And there was a bunch of well-known, I guess you could say, kind of socialist leaders of the different groups. And I remember, because I worked at WGN in Chicago at the time, I remember one of our couriers coming back, because he would deliver the film.
Right.
We weren't in videotape. We were doing film in the 60s. I mean, there was videotape.
Right.
But we were still in the film. So he would deliver on a motorcycle. He would go back and forth between Tribune Tower, which was downtown Chicago, and our studios, which was on the north side of Chicago. Okay, so one day, I'm there doing my job. I'm news writing. And he comes in, and he's bleeding all over the place. He had been hit by a brick that had been thrown. So these things are not uncommon in this country. They're sadly not uncommon. We're going to talk a lot about...
You know, yesterday, you had Angelo Cerasi on yesterday,
yeah.
And you asked him, you know, had any crime made it up there to Rochester? And ironically, I saw a video out of Rochester where a mom and pop had some sort of like dry cleaning or something like that, an Asian couple, and they were getting the front windows bashed in by three or four thugs with 2x4s, and they came out because they also lived there, you know, and they came out, they tried to get them to get away, and they beat the crap out of them. It's just a horrible video to look at.
I'll tell you what, this is why, despite all of the feelings, and they are legitimate, for what happened to George Floyd. This is why I think Trump's chances for being reelected are increasing with these things going on. Now, the media will focus to a large extent on the people that are trying to make a message of hope for black people while all of this other stuff is going on. And like Ed said, in the daytime, everybody is kind of doing their thing in a calm and peaceful
manner.
Those
are protesters, yes.
And at night, it's a different element, right?
Yeah.
It's horrible. And everybody has an opinion on it. We're not going to dwell too much on the whys and, on what we see. We like to talk about what causes it, the causal, you know, cause-effect thing. We'd like to talk more about the cause. But this riot is also hurting the economy. The civil unrest erupting across the country following George Floyd's death is likely to slow the U.S. economy's comeback from the virus. Now, that's a very interesting topic. Violent, especially small businesses, by the way, and downtown businesses, right? Look at the way they're being trashed. Violent protests and looting have left a trail of destruction from New York to Chicago to Los Angeles, which is already stressing the nerves of frazzled business owners who now have to clean off the graffiti, sweep up the glass, replace the merchandise. I'll tell you what, you know what's going to happen to these neighborhood stores. They're not going to open again. There's going to be a lot of people, just like Ed mentioned about the Asian couple. There's going to be a lot of people that I'm not going to do it here. If I open a business, I'm going to go somewhere else.
Look at Target. A big, big merchandise giant like that has shut down stores in hot areas.
It's
until
sad.
Further notice.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's going to further alienate the minority communities.
Yep.
You know? So it's just spinning out of control. So we know that. The economic impact, and the stock market's been doing well. Have you noticed? The stock market's been doing well. People have become, accustomed to the virus, but in a way they're dealing with it, and the stock market sees that. Now this comes along, but you know what? With all the talk about this, what's going to happen is eventually it's going to stop, we're going to sweep up, and we're going to board up, and we're going to repair, and we're going to move on our way. And then we're going to look towards the election, and what else, you know, is going on. But right now, there is a bit of an economic impact, and this is not helping things. We'll talk a little bit further about that with our proprietor of the Mainstream America's Most Important Poll. That's the Barber Poll, of course, and his name is Andrew Ceresi. But we are going to take a break and then turn our attention to a California business tax, which just leaves me speechless.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that love light shines all around us.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to tantalkhealth.com. That's tantalkhealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back. By the way, Freedom Works, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tan Talk Radio Network. And if you can't listen to us live, Big Ed sets it up so you can listen to us on podcast. Go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, ourfreedomworks.com. You'll see a podcast button. Click on it, and you'll look at all the shows that we've done. You'll even know who the guest is in the top 10, thanks to Ed, ourfreedomworks.com. By the way, Ed, what are you doing in there with all the cameras? I know you're a big Hollywood star, but, oh, he's on the phone. I can't even talk to him. This guy is so busy that I can't even talk to him. I didn't see that, so I apologize.
Sorry, Sean was having problems with his phone. He's back on.
Oh, fine. Good. We're going to bring Sean Higgins in right now. And Sean is the research fellow at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute, where he specializes in labor and employment issues. And he has penned a piece that I saw on the Competitive Enterprise Institute's website. By the way, it's a great website, CEI.org. California lawmakers mull tax on jobs. And it talks about consideration for a bill calling to charge all businesses $275 per worker if they've got more than 500 people. I mean, I cannot think, you know, things are bad enough in California with businesses. What are they thinking of, Sean?
It's a good question. I mean, this is a bill that originated last year. It didn't have these provisions. They were recently added, as far as I can tell, last week, you know, during one of the rare sessions that the legislatures had, and they all get together because obviously the coronavirus has made that difficult. But this was put in there with surprisingly little fanfare or announcement, and it appears to be one of their main, corona relief recovery bills. It's called the Local Government School and Recovery Act. And yeah, if a business has more than 500 people, they charge an additional $275 per person employed to the business. And it's, I mean, I guess the thinking is, well, they're really rich, they can afford it. But, you know, I mean, it's literally a tax on jobs. And it's one of those things where you sit there and wonder what is going through their heads.
Yeah, exactly. I know they had passed the California State Assembly, as you say in your article. And it's working its way, apparently, through the state Senate. I cannot see them if they've got any small amount of common sense passing it in there. Is there any chance it could pass?
I don't know. I'm not privy to the inside details of it, and I'm not a regular watcher of the California legislature. I would simply note that similar ideas have been proposed in other states recently. There's a case in Seattle, I believe, where they proposed it, and cooler heads prevailed and said this is a bad idea, don't do it. So I'm guessing it probably won't reach the final stage in California. But that's actually just a guess on my part. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, and you never...
It seems unlikely, but who knows?
Yeah, I was going to say, you never know in California. I mean, things that I think turn common sense on its head occur in California.
This is the same state that passed AB 5, which in an effort to basically punish Lyft and Uber, created these strict rules for what contract work could do, which basically created massive problems for freelancers all across the state.
Yes, indeed. Great way to just snip entrepreneurship right out from under you, you know. And currently, as you say and show, California's unemployment rate is higher than the average. It's about 15.5%. I guess, does that include, so that obviously includes what's happened with the virus, but that's still higher than the national average, is that right?
National average is 14.7%. We're going to have the new numbers from the federal government at the end of the week. They're likely to be 20% at that point. California will probably update its numbers about a week after that, so we'll see where they are. But yeah, they've consistently been higher than the national average during this crisis. Now, California is a large state. There's a lot of different economic factors involved. But you have to think that part of the reason why the numbers are higher is because, you know, people who are stuck at home literally can't don't have as many options to earn a living as a consequence, thanks to AB 5, which the state has stubbornly refused to roll back even during this crisis.
Yeah. I mean, last month they lost over 2 million jobs in that state. And before the virus, they were losing jobs, apparently. And companies were leaving. They were going to Nevada, and they were going to Texas. They were going to Arizona, where things were a little bit better. Doesn't anybody, I'm going to say this on the Democratic side, including their governor, don't they see that they've got to make that state more attractive for businesses to stay and increase? Isn't there, I mean, are they so intimidated by what I would consider sort of anti-business policies? What do you say to that?
Well, in a press conference a few weeks ago, Governor Newsom actually referred to California as the nation state of California, or worse to that effect. I guess the thinking is that because California is so large and it has such a vast sort of economy, it's just basically so big on its own. The state itself is comparable to a lot of, you know, independent nations, that, you know, it can afford to do this, that, you know, a lot of people simply have no choice but to, you know, to do business with them and to be located there so they can throw their weight around them, type mm-hmm. of stuff. And, you know, historically that has generally shown to be a bad idea, because if a company has the money that's really that wealthy, they can pull up stakes and move somewhere else. And that's apparently what some are seriously considering doing. Tesla, for example, Elon Musk has said he's going to move out of the state, or is threatened to do it. And others may do it as well. You know, Facebook, Twitter, and others are, you know, moving towards sort of all their employees being able to work remotely, which will probably empty Silicon Valley of jobs. So, you know, California can try, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, they used to be the place that you would kind of test market things, wouldn't you? And then they would seep east across the country after it, you know? In other words, the innovations and everything. We're talking with Sean Higgins, a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, where he focuses on labor and employment issues. And we're talking about this, I guess you could call it a jobs tax. Any business with 500 plus employees would pay $275 per worker at a time when everything, you know, in this country is so fragile. Speaking of that, Sean, as this virus hopefully declines and businesses are opening in every state now and more open, and finally we're at the end of that, what is in your opinion, from the way things are going, are we going to get back rather quickly to where we were before the virus?
I don't think we'll ever get back to precisely where we were before the virus. I think some things have changed in the long term and for the long run. I mean, we've had a lot of people have been literally, who've never had to do it before, have been forced to work from home. A lot of businesses have been forced to adapt that way. Some people aren't going to go back. Some people are going to continue to work from home. Some businesses are going to continue to use this model. And that's going to affect the way the economy evolves and goes forward. More people have than ever before have been forced to homeschool their kids. People who would never have bothered to do that in the first place, might have thought it was a crazy idea, were forced to do it. And while it's probably going to be a small number, some of them probably have decided that that is actually a better way to go and won't send their kids back to traditional schools. We'll see changes in that area. There's a bunch of other sort of unforeseen consequences of all this, because our behavior, we've been forced to massively change our behavior, and people have had to do things that they've never had to do before, and that's opened up some possibilities for some people. Not that this is necessarily a good way to go about this, but it has happened, and we're going to see changes as a consequence of that.
Oh, well, there's no question about it. I think you're right. You make a good point. I don't think it's ever going to be the same. Now, we were moving towards more at-home job situations, even if you worked for a company. if they could, they saved money by maybe allowing you to work at home, and you saved money because you know your car expenses. But like you say, that puts the guy that runs the gas station in a little bit of a hole, and the McDonald's where you went for lunch or whatever it was. So there's a trade-off there, I would suspect. So do you think that this virus has actually hastened this kind of, that we were on the road to anyway, this kind of I'll work from home mentality?
I think it has. I mean, it was happening, but, you know, prior to this, but slowly, and with, you know, a lot of sort of non-traditional or new economy industries, and a lot of, I mean, it was mostly sort of, you know, people who worked on the internet or technology or that type of stuff were the ones who were doing it, or there's some sort of special factor regarding the work where it could be done from home more easily than in other cases. But now we've seen a lot of other businesses had to adapt to this. And, you know, some of them may have decided that, yeah, it's cheaper to work this way. And as you correctly point out, there's a whole lot of businesses and industries that are sort of built around servicing commuters, you know, office buildings, that type of stuff, that are going to have to, you know, that won't have the same type of revenue streams or customers that they did before, at least not at the same level. And you're going to see that change as well. And so we're never going to, I doubt we'll ever get precisely to where we were before all this began. And that's neither good nor bad inherently. I'm kind of a nostalgist. I actually would have preferred none of this ever happened. And we could have, you know, just lived our life as we always did. But the reality is it did happen, and, you know, we have to deal with the consequences of that. And part of that is going to be some changes in the way we do a lot of things.
Is this whole environment eliminating small businesses?
No, I don't think it's eliminating small businesses, but it has resulted in some types of small businesses really suffering and struggling, but new ones will sort of crop up in its wake. You know, what economists call creative destruction. Now, obviously, that's terrible if you're one of the people on the end of the destruction. I mean, I live in a neighborhood where there's all sorts of restaurants that I used to love that will probably go out of business or at least never reopen, and that's really sad. Other type of, you know, delivery services and businesses will crop up to take their place, and we'll see that change happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's unfortunate that it has to happen to some people, but again, it's kind of inevitable, and it's better to sort of adapt to the changes and ride them out than resist it and try and force everything back to the way it was before, when that probably is not possible.
Why is the stock market doing so well under all of these, you know, with the virus and the riots? What do you think?
You know, there's always people, you know, there's always people who see opportunities in chaos and when things change. I mean, you know, there's people who, you know, sell a lot of things and therefore stuff is cheap to buy for people who, you know, view things in the long term. So if somebody has to sell something because, you know, they're struggling and they need the money right now, that's an opportunity for someone else. And that's just the sort of the nature of, you know, economics.
That's capitalism, I mean? Is that what you're saying? That's really the way capitalism works?
Yeah, I mean, they don't call it the dismal science for nothing. you know, one person's misery is always can be another person's gain.
Yeah.
And that's part of what we're seeing.
Sean, it's a pleasure to talk with you about all of this, and I hope we'll be, and I know we'll be talking again down the road. You keep safe, and God bless.
Thank you very much. Glad to help out.
Okay. Sean Higgins, Competitive Enterprise Institute. Going to take a little break, and boy, oh boy, the things that are going on. You know, Donald Trump was standing in front of a church, and now he's getting yelled at because of that. Did you see that? I mean, what's going on? We're going to talk with the proprietor of the barber pole about all of this, Andrew Ceraci.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. the best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the TAN Talk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's TAN Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. And Ed, I didn't get a chance. I was trying to ask you, how come, I know you're a great celebrity, but how come you had all these cameras in your room there?
Just friends of mine are doing a photo shoot for a Tampa Bay kind of magazine thing.
Well, may I get your autograph after the program, maybe? I'll pay you for it.
After your check clears.
Okay. Well, good. I'll be, seriously, looking forward to whatever the article is. That'll be interesting. Are you excited about that, or are you a little worried?
Well, as long as it's not taken by Bernie Sanders or anything like that.
I see.
Everything, or the fake media or anything,
okay.
They'll chop my words up and...
Well, I know how great you are already because you and I have been working together for quite a while, and I'm glad to see that you're getting that exposure, really. Well, Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany, you kind of like her, by the way. She stands right up.
Yeah.
She's announced that the White House is establishing a central command center. They're going to monitor and combat these riots, and... Our buddy Donald Trump is really taking the offensive. So I can't think of anybody else I'd rather talk with about all of this. And I'll bet his dander is up. I'll bet when he sits on a pool side and the water hits the hair on his legs, his hair goes in different directions too. How you doing, my friend?
Well, I'm doing great, buddy. How about you?
We're emotional here about a lot of things. It's kind of a crazy world right now. We got Donald Trump. He stands in front of a church with a Bible or a missile in his hands, and he's getting criticized for that as well. He can't do anything.
Well, he should have put a Koran in his hand. Maybe he would have loved him for it.
Okay.
So, but, what's going on is disgusting. Okay, we're at war, Paul. This is all staged. This has all been planned. Look at what happened to the coronavirus, Paul. You know what? We're going to see how true this is in another 2 weeks, because maybe God made this happen, because all these people are close together, rioting and looting. What are they all going to get this virus in a couple weeks and kick it, maybe?
Yeah, I was thinking that, too. All of these people, even though they got the masks on, which are probably because they don't want anybody to recognize them, especially at night, they're all running around together like that. You would think eventually there's going to be some of that, although it's all outdoors. So that,
Paul, let me tell you something.
What?
The virus is gone, buddy.
You think
it's
so?
It's no longer news, Paul.
Yeah.
The flu is over. Flu season's done. Now we need to talk about riot season.
Right.
And you know what? I'm surprised a lot of these people in these businesses haven't started blowing these people away. But if you look at where it's all happening, it's all in the Democratic cities, isn't it? They don't have guns, do they?
Well, most cities, the major cities at least, are Democrat. I can't think of a Republican major city, if you want to know the truth.
None.
You know, it follows that logic that people that group together like that tend to be more liberal. I don't know if it's, because they want more social services or what, but go ahead. Yeah.
Well, look at the mayor in Tampa the other day marching with them.
Right.
Okay? Oh, let's talk about this. Is this woman nuts or what?
Yeah, I
wonder. They need this. It's like Trump says. You people need to get a little bit more aggressive or something here. You're letting them walk all over you. You're weak.
Well, Mayor Castor, she's an interesting crossbreed because she also comes
from... There's no question about that.
Well, no, but she comes from the police. She was a policeman.
Yeah,
no,
Paul, yeah, they had to promote her, Paul. They had to promote her through the system. I don't think she did it on her abilities, believe me.
No, but...
You know, they have quotas they have to meet, Paul. Women, so many women officers, so many this.
But
that's a bunch of bullcrap. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. You're right. But my point is... that she will bring a police perspective into some of this. She can't help that. She's one of them. She understands them. And I'm not defending her. You know, and wandering around with those people, etc. Although she, you know, is making her point.
Oh, they're telling the police to stand down. Let them burn the vehicles. Let them trash the buildings. Let them look. You sit there and watch.
No, it's very frustrating. In fact, I'm looking at a story here, Andrew. By the way, Andrew is the best barber in Tampa Bay, and we've talked many times about calling there, getting in there. You'll have a great haircut, and you'll enjoy it. But police officers across the U.S. were targeted in shootings and vehicular attacks last night as protests continued. And, I mean, you can just go down the list here. In St. Louis last night, four cops were shot during the protest. I believe there was a policeman out west that got killed. I can't remember the details.
Yes, there was. He was an FBI agent, actually.
An FBI agent, you're right. In Las Vegas, officer shot in the head at the Circus Casino. I mean, what's going on here?
You got to stand down. There'd be an order to stand down, Paul.
Now,
don't draw your weapons.
President Trump is saying, we want to send in National Guard troops. And, of course, we had a huge display of National Guard troops around the White House, as there should be, and in Washington, D.C. Do you think, Andrew, that he should, and I know it's an emotional thing, but just thinking about it logically, do you think that President Trump should supersede any governor if he thinks a major city or...
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely, because you got Democrat governors who let their cities be burned to the ground. Because whatever it takes to get rid of Trump, Paul.
Yeah. How do you think, speaking of mayors, how do you think de Blasio in New York City is handling it?
He's a POS.
What?
He's a POS.
I'm afraid to ask you. Can you say it on the air?
No.
Okay.
But they know what I'm talking about. He's disgusting, vile.
He's
somebody earth. Okay? Him and Cuomo.
Now I know.
Him and Cuomo. Look at Cuomo. He starts a curfew at 11 o'clock at night. He's dumber than a box of rocks.
That is
dumb.
People
like it. Let me tell you, they need to make a pair of cement shoes for Governor Cuomo.
What size is it? He looks like he wears a big shoe. Anyway.
It'll work. The more, the better.
I tell you what, we don't like to laugh at misery, but you do find some humor. In what is going on. Now, what do you think about this? I was kind of curious. Do you like President Trump's press secretary? Her name is Kayleigh McEnany.
I think she's doing a great job. Maybe the mayor in Tampa ought to learn some lessons from her on how to speak instead of kissing butt.
She's not afraid to talk back to the media, is she?
No, she's not.
And I think she comes somewhat prepared. I want to touch on a very delicate subject with you, Andrew. I hope you're not uncomfortable with it, but I may have a guest here on Friday that has written a piece about black-on-white crime as opposed to white-on-black crime. Now, we're talking a lot about George Floyd and what happened to him, and it was horrible. I don't think anybody would dispute. I mean, putting a knee on somebody's throat and watching him literally die.
What do you think about what happened with Epstein? Do you think that was horrible too?
So I want to go to this thing.
Okay, go ahead.
This is written by Heather McDonald, and as I say, in fact, we're going to have her on Friday. And here's what she says. Facts don't matter in the academic victimology narrative. Far from destroying the black body, whites are the overwhelming target of interracial violence. Between 2012 and 2015, blacks committed 86% of all black versus white interracial violence. That leaves 14% for whites committing against blacks. Now, I don't want to divide people. I'd like to if you treat everybody like an individual, this whole black versus white thing dissipates. Do you know what I mean? If you treat a person as you just that person, it dissipates. But when they talk about all of this and then the riots go, I always think about that. The disparity there, you know? Now, poverty drives violence and crime. Right. We understand that. But 86-14, I think those prognosticators and politicos that go on television and radio and the internet and, you know, wax on about what is going on with the white guy against the black guy. It's kind of hypocritical. What say you?
Well, definitely hypocritical. I mean, you know, Paul, the black community has been taken down by the Democrat Party for years. They stupefied them.
Yes.
Okay, number one. All right, the blacks have got every opportunity, even more than the whites, to progress in this country. They got every opportunity given to them. Do they take advantage of it? No. Okay, a black man murders a white man. You don't hear nothing about it, Paul. You don't hear nothing about 20 black men pulling a driver out of a truck and beating him to death. And you know what? These people that are doing this rioting are not all black, okay?
That's right.
From what
no
I see, I see black, I see white,
oh,
I
absolutely.
See purple, I see pink, okay?
Yep.
What we got is not only blacks. I think it's a generation.
Yes.
Okay?
Usually,
young black against white, I think it's generation against another generation.
Well, it's young males that are donning the handkerchiefs and busting things.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Well, what needs to be done seriously, they need to start shooting them. Because you know what? When they start shooting them, knocking a few of them down, you know what? They'll all run back into the basements.
But
as long as they can get away with it, they're going to.
But, Andrew, you know if a policeman takes a pot shot at anybody and accidentally hits an innocent person.
Oh, that's got to change. Well, you know, Paul,
you can't do it.
If an innocent person is out with these rioters at night, they don't belong there, do they?
You still can't take a pot shot. You can't. There are going to be innocent people that will be hurt, and you can't do that.
Paul,
that's where
Paul, I believe,
and that will
Paul, I believe,
but
I
Andrew,
believe
that
we're
will
at
increase,
war right now, Paul.
Andrew,
I believe we're at war, Paul, right now. This country is at war.
That's why we need cooler heads to prevail, correct? The only way that we're going to get out of this is not by taking pot shots at people. I mean, that's going to really inflame it and raise the stakes. But if we...
I don't know. I seem to think that if a few of them start getting killed, things are going to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by being nice, Paul, it ain't going to work. Nice don't work no more, Paul. These people aren't being nice, are they? And there's thousands of them.
Now, I'll tell you one thing I would cheer about is what, excuse me for interrupting, but a business owner, when somebody comes stomping into their place through broken glass, when I see a guy turn that gun towards them, I go, there you go, yay. You know, I mean, that's when I can say, boy, you have every right to defend yourself there, you know. That to me is something I think we could all agree on. Finally, I want to, if I might, and I know we're kind of talking with emotions here, but I think that all of this plays into Donald Trump's hands in terms of being reelected. What say you?
Oh, I think so too, Paul. I think they're doing nothing but making him stronger. You know, what you're seeing out there is a minuscule amount of the population causing this.
That's true.
Okay?
Yes.
It's a handful. It's not our country. It's a handful. But you know what? These handfuls are scaring the crap out of our citizens. They're making them stay in. They're making them afraid. They're giving them anxieties. They're afraid. There's no difference to what the brown coats did in Nazi Germany, Paul. They need to be dealt with.
Yeah, there is some similarity. What do you think with the, you know, do you think that Antifa, which, by the way, doesn't seem to have any real hierarchical, you know, there's not a president of Antifa and a vice president. It's like a collection of people, young people, usually that get dressed up in dark clothing and wander into these things.
But isn't it amazing how they can all put together thousands of them in different cities within 24 hours?
You don't think it's a monkey see, monkey do? You know what I mean?
There's a lot of monkeys then, Paul.
Yeah, there is.
It's coordinated somehow, Paul.
Yeah, okay.
It's coordinated.
Yeah. That's the scary thing to me.
That means we got to be coordinated, don't we?
Yeah,
and be prepared.
But it's, you know, it's the old story here. It's divide and conquer. Divide and conquer philosophy.
That's what they're trying to do, Paul. That's why I believe this is all a setup right from the beginning, from day one since the president got elected.
Hey, by the way, how's your business doing?
It's dead as a doornail right now,
Paul. Is it really? No
yes,
kidding.
It is. People are afraid to come out. All the businesses. Now, Paul, look at businesses just started opening up to get on their feet again, right?
Right.
Now they got a curfew. What happens? The restaurants are closed. Walmart's closing at 5 o'clock. Come on.
Is that right? Here around,
yes, sir.
Around where you are? They're closing
That's
all
right.
of those?
They're closing at 5 o'clock.
I did
buddy.
Not know that.
That's right.
Why are they closing?
Same thing. Mm-hmm. They're afraid. Look what happened in North Carolina.
But are you saying there's a curfew?
Yeah.
In Dunedin?
This is what I heard today. All Walmarts are closing at 5 o'clock.
Well, Big Ed is shaking his head. I don't think there's a curfew.
It's not a curfew.
The stores themselves are closing.
Oh. Okay, well.
Not a curfew,
okay,
no.
Fair enough. All right. Well, you know, I can see the cause-effect here, yeah, to some extent. Well, we're going to talk again Friday, and hopefully, you know, I don't know. I hope we'll have a little more optimism about what is going on. But you're always a pleasure to talk with, Andrew, and I thank you so very much. And
all right, Paul, you take care, buddy.
And
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The Master Barber. And he's riled up. I don't blame him. I do not blame him at all. We're going to take our break. And among other things, when we come back, we're going to talk about the 6 states that Donald Trump carried last time around and needs to win again.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is
all... Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our 2-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. We thank you very much for joining us today. So much news going on. Almost lost in all of the news is the fact that we are in June, and that means only 5 months until the presidential election. And I wanted to talk a little bit about 6 battleground states that Trump won last time around that he needs to focus on, and he probably certainly is focusing in on again. And the 6 states are Arizona, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Florida. Now, these are states that he won, and they are states that he certainly needs to win again if he wants to become a second term president. Let's look at each of these states. Arizona, Trump won it last time by 3.6 points over Hillary Clinton. Right now, Joe Biden leads in the Real Clear Politics poll by 4 points. That's Arizona. Now, Democrats hope Arizona follows the path of Colorado, New Mexico, and Nevada, all of which have tilted the Democrats' direction in recent presidential elections as more liberals move into the area, as well as Latino, and in many cases, Latinos tend to vote Democratic, more so than Republican. Then comes Michigan. Now, Trump won Michigan. He squeaked by 0.2%. Right now, Biden has got 5.5 points on Donald Trump. Whether or not he can win that one again, Donald Trump can win it again, is really up for, it's a jump ball. Trump's victory in Michigan, powered by his calls to confront China and end trade agreements that he said hurt manufacturing, helped him. And he has made China a major sticking point in 2020 as well. Then comes North Carolina. This is a very interesting state. Trump won it by 3.7 points over Hillary. And right now, believe it or not, Trump is ahead of Biden by 1 percentage point in Real Clear Politics. In the past half century, North Carolina has backed only two Democrats for president, Jimmy Carter and Barack Obama. Then comes Pennsylvania. Very interesting state, right? Very interesting state. Coal mining state, blue-collar state in many ways with jobs. Steel in Pittsburgh. Now, Trump won that state by 0.7 points in 2016. Right now, Biden's got a 6.5 point lead on Trump, according to Real Clear Politics. This remains the heart of the Biden campaign, Pennsylvania, and in part because the former vice president has many ties to the state. He was born in Scranton and was a fixture in Philadelphia media markets for a long time. So Biden is hoping he can win that state. Then comes Wisconsin, which had been going to Democrats until Trump won it by 0.8 points, 0.8 points, last time around. Real Clear Politics shows Biden with 2.7% or 2.7 points higher than Trump right now. But this is going to be a very interesting state. They say that Trump is perhaps best positioned in Wisconsin. And finally, Florida, our dear beloved home state. Trump won Florida by 1.2% last time around. He's polling at negative 3.5 points right now. Biden's got him by 3.5 points here in the Sunshine State. Now, Trump's moved down to Mar-a-Lago to make it his official residency, registered to vote here. It says here that being a native of Florida now could be the most important thing going for Donald Trump. And we've had a history of razor-thin races here, as you know, if you remember the 2000 race between Bush and Gore, right? So that's what's going on right now. In those six battleground states, and those are the ones right now to watch in terms of who's going to become president. All right, Ed, it is time for you to get over on the drums. We got a good one, I think. These are the top 10 most exciting cities in America. And I'll tell you right now, I am shocked at what is number one. Shocked. Okay? So we'll see. By the way, here's the criteria that they use. This is Movoto or Movoto, M-O-V-O-T-O, Movoto blog. They use these criteria. Park acreage, number of people between 20 and 34, fast food restaurants, the fewer the better, by the way. Bars, good, you know, the more the better.
Okay.
Okay. Big box stores, the fewer the better. The fewer the better. Okay. Population diversity, movie theaters, museums, theater companies, and music venues.
Okay.
Okay, my friend, here we go. Number 10. Portland, Oregon. Portland has a strong cultural scene with high marks in music. You knew that, didn't you? Yeah. That Portland's a big music scene. And movie theaters, too. Number 9. Philadelphia, PA. Philadelphia made our list because of its high diversity and number of museums per square mile. You ever been to Philadelphia?
And I have no longing to go.
No desire.
No desire.
Number 8. You've been to Atlanta.
I have, yeah.
Okay, well, they're at number 8. Atlanta's made our top 10 despite having poor scores on number of fast food restaurants. They have too many there. And parks. They don't have enough. Strong marks for a young population, bars, and music. They do have a lot of bars and music, that's for sure. Number 7. Milwaukee. Would you have believed it?
I like Milwaukee.
I love Milwaukee. Yeah. I went to school there, and you know what? They got a lot of bars. Mm. Boy, do they have bars. It says it's solid in every criteria in Milwaukee. Number 6. New York. Hey, they got everything in New York. Cultural capital of the world. But only number 6. All right. Number 5. Washington, D.C. Would you believe that one? I would not.
Wow.
Well, they got a lot of museums and parks. That's why. Okay. Number 4. Seattle. I believe that. Seattle's got a lot of things going for it. Great nightlife. Anyway, there they go. Number 3. Hey, San Francisco. Placed 3rd.
Wow.
City by the Bay. Vibrant art and music scenes. Number 2. Boston. Not surprisingly to me. High number of bars. Young population. Lots of movie theaters. So that's why. All right, Ed. You got some time. I went through this pretty good. Look at this. You want to contemplate? What do you think?
Let's see.
I'm going to give you a hint. I'm going to give you a hint because it's not fair not to.
Okay.
Because I would never have guessed it. That's number 1.
Okay.
Number 2. It's on the West Coast. Number 3. It's not Los Angeles. Okay?
That would have been too easy.
Yeah. But I don't want you to. I want to give you a real shot. It's on the West Coast. It's not Los Angeles. We already talked about Seattle, and we already talked about, let's see, who else did we talk about out there? San Francisco. We already talked. So it's not either one of those. All right, come on.
The only thing I can think of that would be left is Oakland.
Well, get back on the drum. That's it. Roll it. You're right.
Really?
You are right. I would never have guessed Oakland.
Well,
you know
obviously
why?
Obviously, NFL football teams don't count.
Well?
Because they're gone.
They are gone, yeah. Have you ever been to Oakland, Ed?
No.
Have you ever been to San Francisco?
No.
You're kidding.
No.
Have you ever been on the West Coast?
I have been to L.A. I've been to Hollywood.
Did you like it?
Hollywood, let me put it this way.
It's a disappointment.
Crazy would call Hollywood crazy.
Yeah, they would.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Oakland is number 1 because it scored well in every single category. Can you believe it? All 10 criteria. Yeah. There you go. All right, we'll be back on Friday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Special report protests across America. Democratic presidential contender Joe Biden has criticized the president for using force to clear a way for him to pose in front of a church last night.
The president held up the Bible at St. John's Church yesterday. I just wish he opened it once in a while. Instead of brandishing it. If he opened it, he could have learned something. They're all called to love one another as we love ourselves. It's really hard work. but it's the work of America.
The president plans to visit another church today. The death toll from the protests and rioting has risen to at least 9. 5,600 arrests have taken place since the death of George Floyd by police in Minneapolis. Michigan Republican Congressman Justin Amash is introducing a bill to end the Qualified Immunity Act that would allow civil lawsuits against police. Democratic senators have pledged to introduce separate measures to do the same. I'm Mike Moss. The police chief of Louisville, Kentucky, has been fired after officials discovered that two officers involved in fatal shootings of a man during a protest over George Floyd's death had not activated their body cameras. Correspondent Evan McMorris Santoro with more from Louisville.
There was another shooting in which a local barbecue restaurant owner named David McAtee was killed in another police incident that led to more investigations of the police here. That led to the police chief, who was, again, already set to retire at the end of the month, being fired outright. So really a conversation about policing that's been going on while the protests are happening is happening here in Louisville and really stepping up to the next level now with this next incident that's now currently under investigation by state police, the U.S. attorney, and the FBI.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 161 points at this hour. I'm Mike Moss.
I've always wanted to learn another language, but every time I try, it never sticks. So I decided to give Babbel a try, and I really like the teaching method of the app. I started with the beginner lesson on Babbel, and it starts with simple words and phrases, and soon you're putting those words into a conversation. Each lesson takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and they're all really different, which keeps things interesting. The app is really smart. It actually keeps track of the words I'm struggling with so I can practice them and get better. I chose Babbel because it was created by real language teachers. They built it around real life, how people actually communicate, and what they care about. I can't wait to use my new language skills in the real world. Dos cervezas, por favor.
With Babbel, get conversational in Spanish, French, German, and more. It just takes 10 to 15 minutes a day. Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com or download the Babbel app and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
It was another.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, did you know there's a live psychology talk show Thursday and Friday at noon where you can call in and get free guidance and also learn several different topics relating to ending the stigma on mental health? It's called Moments of Clarity on WTAN 1340 AM. It's with licensed therapist Tiffany Warner, who will try to end the stigma on mental health. But the only way you can do that is to listen to Moments of Clarity Thursday and Friday at noon on WTAN 1340 AM, the Tantalk Radio Network.
Talking Sports and Knockout Radio is one of, if not the longest running sports radio show in Tampa Bay, and heard every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. From football to MMA and pizza to travel, we talk it all. Every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m., we walk the walk and talk the talk. If you have a story you'd like us to cover, just go to knockoutradio.com and click the contact link and send us a suggestion. That's knockoutradio/talkingsports.
Hello,
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Just listen to Dine Out Radio.